The plane landed, and Duni's rapid heartbeat slowed. As the pilot announced the arrival in Lagos, a prolonged breath eased out of her, along with a whiff of alcohol, courtesy of the wine that had made her anxiety manageable. Duni had recently developed a fear of flying, and the person responsible for that fear was her grandmother, her Iya Agba. The 78-year-old woman, known within the family for dreaming sinister things that somehow came true, had called Duni 5 times in the last month, detailing 5 different scenarios where Duni died. A plane crash had been one. The logical part of Duni's brain, the part that had gotten her PhD in genetics, had dismissed the dreams. The other part of her brain, the part that kept a detailed account of her grandmother's predictions, had been terrified, paranoid, and irrationally cautious. Duni often described her grandmother as someone who lived with one eye in the present and another peeking into the future, spiritually straddled between 2 periods. Iya Agba dreams, and her dreams come true. History held the proof. When Iya Agba was a child, she dreamed her primary school teacher died in an Okada accident. He had. On the eve of her wedding, she dreamed her husband-to-be died of a heart attack days after his 65th birthday. He had. Iya Agba dreams, and her dreams come true. It was a known fact, especially to that other half of Duni's brain that relied on historical proof. But she tried to ignore history and her upbringing in a country where there were always 2 narratives, the natural and the supernatural. Duni had lived in America for 12 years, where she had studied molecular genetics, pursuing a career as a research geneticist. She had learned to rely on the practical, the explainable. But now, back in Nigeria with her grandmother's warnings resounding in her head, practicality suddenly seemed unattainable, further from her reach than it had been before, a continent away. She rolled her suitcase along and stopped once outside of the airport. It was evening, the sun partially beneath the horizon. The dusty Harmattan air moved through the weightless chiffon blouse that flapped against her body. The paved ground beneath her feet was a source of comfort and security. For the first time since leaving Seattle, she breathed easy and felt the fullness of air through her nose and mouth. Noting the difference between what she had inhaled in America and what she inhaled now, a dense mugginess infused with a scent of dry earth and flavored with something invisible, yet so particularly Nigerian. Trimmed hedges lined the walkway she stood on. The green shrubs complemented the pale red of the ground. Duni missed this aspect of Nigeria, the soil, its color, and even its stubbornness, how it clung to anything and everything. It was definitely resilient. She'd spent 12 years away from her home and from him. She scanned her surroundings to ensure he wasn't there. It was stupid, like her. He was 30 now. For 12 years, she only ever thought of him as a boy. But he must have changed. His lean face and slender physique were probably fuller now, either with muscles or fat. The scanty hairs on his chin, the ones she used to count without going past 20, must have multiplied, carpeting his face with an unruly thickness. She even suspected his fair complexion had darkened. Then she suspected, with no evidence, that he could be the black market dealer hollering at travelers, telling them he'll give good prices for currency exchange, dollars to naira and vice versa. That could be him, Obina. Could it? Maybe she wouldn't recognize him. But what if she did? What if something in her, something that had stayed the same for 12 years, frozen in time, recognized him? With that familiarity in her, the one that was both comforting and taunting, recognized the same familiarity in him? Something kindred between them? She hoped not.